Thanks, everybody, for joining us again on Bridging the Gap. On yesterday's show, we discussed the Powell County regular fiscal court meeting for July 2017, and there were still a few loose ends to be tied up regarding that meeting, particularly within the individual departments of the county. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick up where we left off and carry on in and give you a further update on the meeting itself so that everybody's well in the loop. Judge, usually during these meetings, I know you have your department heads give updates as to what's going on within their department, and this was no exception. So can you kind of give us around the county what's going on in the different departments for the county?
Yeah, I can, and I guess I'd like to take this time. You know, that's, I guess, you know, over the last couple of years is when I really started encouraging our department heads to come to these meetings and try to, you know, you take for myself can easily take for granted that I interact with these department heads every day, that I, you know, naturally I typically have a pretty good idea of what's going on in a department, what the needs are or what they're facing. But, you know, that's where I really like to try to take a step back and look from a citizen, the average day citizen's perspective, is the taking for granted can get you into problems, because that's, I guess, 2 years ago when I started asking them to do so, is our fiscal court, as well as our citizens, are not always aware of what's going on. So, you know, I ask our department heads to start coming, and not that we have everyone every meeting, but we have the majority of them most every meeting, and appreciate them really doing that, because this is not something they're getting paid extra for. They don't get to, but they come and give their time to tell what's going on in their department. So I think that we've really had good buy-in from our department heads on that, and I think it puts it's a lot easier on the court. That's what I said. They actually get, you know, maybe the interaction they don't get daily, such as myself, they get, as well as any citizens. And then when we have a format like this, citizens get to have a little bit better idea of what exactly that department's facing, what they've accomplished over the last month. And so I just think it's just another added level of transparency and communication. So I think it's been very healthy, and I hope we can continue to expand. It will can cause the meetings to be a little bit more lengthy, but I think it's good information, and it's worth the time spent doing so. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of getting into that. This month we was fortunate enough to have, I think, about four of our department heads, and they came and shared, and I guess started with transfer station. And anybody that's been up by the transfer station, or like you said, you drive through Town City Recycling Trailer, can tell that that's been a, you know, in my time here, especially within the last 4 or 5 years, there's been significant strides definitely in our recycling and improvements to that facility. And say this a lot, I've been very fortunate since I've been here to have some excellent staff that's really made these departments become what they could be. And, you know, that's, some people ask me what my role is as judge, and really I think one of my, I think a good judge or leader is more just been a good facilitator. You know, you've got good staff, you've got to enable them, let them take their skill set, and that's really, you don't have to micromanage them when you get people here. And I kind of referring back to transfer station, you know, when I come here, had Kenny Case, and due to health reasons, naturally he's decided to move on, but he was just a great employee. And just if people remember that, the transfer station a few years ago, it was somewhere that you kind of hated to drive up to. It just wasn't very presentable, and in his time there, he really made an effort, cleaned it up, and
yes, he did,
and was really instrumental in getting our recycling actually going after these grants and things. And since he left, Tim Snowden has taken over, and Tim brings a skill set that's been very important as well. You know, naturally, if you've been up there in the last 6 months or so, you'll see substantial amount of work going there. We've talked about them a little bit on previous shows, but you know, it's kind of neat. Tim coming from construction background, you know, naturally with this past year's grant, we were able to obtain scales and things, so there's been quite a bit of construction and things. And so, you know, that skill set come in at a time that was pretty vital to what was going on there. So in last year's grant cycle, it was a little over $80,000 we got, and got a few more trailers, the scales and things, and we've got the scales pretty well installed now, a little bit of work on the approach and things. But as we talked about before, hopefully that's another way not only we can provide I think a better service for our community, and that they'll only get billed for what they're truly disposing. And also hopefully it will encourage a little bit more on the recycling when, you know, on any, and I've said this before, somewhere around 55-60% of what most people throw away in their household garbage could be recycled. And, you know, everybody kind of wins in that scenario. Naturally, it's good for the environment, but if really when we can put it into this type of breakdown, people understand, you know, that's 60% of my waste I'm not having to pay for. So, you know, they can potentially save money.
Well, I can tell you even from my personal experience, you know, two people living in a house, one of them 4.5 years old, you still do manage to generate about 5 trash bags a week. And once I started really being committed to utilizing our recycling program, it's about 2 now.
Yeah,
and it's a tremendous amount of savings. You just don't even realize it.
And there again, kind of confirms kind of the ratios we saw. You kind of confirmed that about 60% of your you know, waste was done away with. And what they, you know, at the same time, not that a lot of our recycling goods are not substantially valuable, they still are a revenue stream for our transfer station. And in moving it, you know, my goal is to have every department we have at least self-sustainable. And the recycling program has definitely moved us toward that in our transfer station. And I do think as we grow recycling and have better means of sorting and stuff, it definitely it helps us as taxpayers not have to pay for all the services we get there. Like I said, a good portion of what that department costs is, you know, raised through the recycling. So, you know, citizens are saving not only on the initial disposal, but potentially, you know, what general fund money would have to be used to support that department is naturally whittled down by the recyclings. And then at the end of the day, you know, there's another cost savings in that whatever we don't put in the what we don't dispose of, you know, we have the hauling cost and disposal cost of the waste too. So whatever we keep out of that. So, you know, there's three or four avenues where you save money through that. So pretty excited to see that. And like I said, kind of talking about the grants through that, this year we was awarded another, I think it was around $56,000, which has allowed us to, one of the things as our recycling program has really grown and people started, like you said, starting to get a lot of community buy-in and utilizing is the need for more trailers or drop-off points. And, you know, now, and I know especially this time of year, it seems like they're utilized a little better. You know, there's many times people get relying on a trailer at been at a location. Well, naturally, there's got to be some time when that trailer's not sitting there now as you pick it to take it to empty it. So with this new cycle, it's going to bring our number of trailers up to I think we got 12 more. We'll have about 21 this time.
That's
so
awesome.
Hopefully there'll be some more points of you can take your things too, as well as hopefully we can swap these trailers out, so you know maybe there's not a vacant place where one said, you know, we just swap them out. So it's gonna give us a lot more flexibility. And I guess kind of just following up one thing that we was talking about, the scales and some of the projects going on, one thing that project did inhibit this year was people's become very accustomed to the free dump day. So if you know they have a little bit of household cleanup or things they want to do, that's something we've got a lot of calls about. And because of the construction, it was kind of restricting flow of traffic in and out. We'd kind of held off, but go ahead. I think if some of them may have done saw it in the paper, but on the 29th, which is Saturday after next, I think, is going to be that free dump day. So
okay, and we'll try to get that information out to everybody on social media too, so be watching for that. I know we've received calls about it at dispatch too. It's a big event.
Yeah,
annually around here.
Like I said, unfortunately, because of the projects, it's a little bit, probably about two months further out than it typically is, but we are going to still honor that, and we have got it scheduled. So that's something I wanted to get out there. I know several people's called and asked about. So
sure.
They can be preparing for that, and I would like to remind them they can call 663-6410 if they have any questions, but it will be kind of subject to kind of the current standards there. There won't be construction goods allowed or tires, but you know, regular household garbage can be disposed of at no cost to them at that time. So, and so that kind of finished up mostly what Tim had to speak about this time.
Okay, and well, Judge, moving on from the transfer station, we had other departments on scene as well to give us an update. So what's going on with the rest of the departments in the county?
Yeah, next, Arlene Rogers from the Ambulance Department came on behalf of them last night. And basically the only thing she had before her was just some employment changes. For those that don't know how that worked, typically, you know, like in a budget year and just any department, we analyze what those payroll needs are, and we give that, you know, to that department. They have discretion to fill those and staff those how they need. But at the end of the day, who they hire still has to come before the court for approval or the Nile, and so she, the new hires that they had hired this month, she had brought to be approved or disapproved by the court. So that was relatively simple and pretty short order of business, and that's really the only thing that the ambulance department had this month.
Okay. Did we get any updates from our road department this month?
We did. Gary West came before the road department, told a little bit about some of the things he was doing with his equipment, some purchases he had made, as well as, you know, he notified that we had already gotten through with our second round of mowing this year already. And there was also that they were addressing, you know, the if you notice around guardrails or signs and sometimes in fence rows, some of that vegetation's getting a little bit. So they're using some procedures to eradicate those and make sight distance problems go away. So hopefully if you've noticed on a county road, guardrails that have a little Johnson grass, something growing beyond what's already been mowed, that should not be a problem here in the next few days.
Okay.
And then also, Gary, we had a special meeting, I think, on June 28th. And at that time, Powell County had been awarded some emergency funding for a project on Upper Cane Creek Road. We had a landslide there that was starting to encroach upon the road. And it's been a kind of an issue for the last 3 or 4 years that we've had to be addressing. And it's got substantially worse. So we were finally able to secure some emergency funding in order to drive steel there and hopefully offer a long-time permanent solution for that issue. And that work was completed this month too, so it was very good. It's a good dry time, good time. They was able to get in and do it relatively short order, and he made us aware that that had been completed too.
Great. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. Can you catch us up on the rest of the goings on in the county in that amount of time?
Yeah, at the only last department head we had come was Steve Asbury from our emergency services, and he had several things he brought the court up to speed on. And one of the first, which I know we've talked about some over the last few months, is the warning sirens. Mm-hmm. And he let us know that he had completed all but one on the battery replacements. What I guess a lot of people may not realize, you know, naturally these are run off electricity, but they do also have, for some redundancy, have a built-in battery backup system. Mm-hmm. So naturally, there's only so long those batteries are good for, and usually every 4 to 5 years they go back and replace those batteries to ensure that, you know, we have good batteries in case that battery backup's needed. And so in the last month he's done that, and in doing so, the majority, or at least over half that cost was absorbed, you know, utilizing that DES grant funding. So mm-hmm. he's done got that submitted. And he talked a little bit, and I said all but one of them had been replaced. The only one that has not been is the one located there in Clay City at Kathy's Country Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably mentioned it when we talked about these sirens before. That's the only one at currently that we do not have currently working, and it's due to issues where that particular siren is getting damaged, or the wiring actually to that siren is being damaged by vehicles hitting that pole. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some talk we'd looked at either potentially having the pole moved, or if we could do something to mitigate the damages it was sustaining in its current location. And since that time, Steve has gotten with an electrician, and there are plans to fix what's been allowing the damage to happen and get it repaired. So at that time, those batteries will be replaced. And, you know, really at that time, I did take a moment to thank Steve. And I also mentioned Mike Sparks before him. And, you know, at the time, people, and that's where I want to do a better job of educating. You know, a few years ago when I made the move to separate our emergency management from our CSEP, there was some confusion by, I think, some members of the court, as well as probably some in the community, as to why, you know, naturally they fit a lot together. But I think when people, when they sit here and see, there's a whole lot that goes into both of those departments. And as both of them are, well, the CSEP 100%, you know, grant funded, and mm-hmm. your DES up to a point, you know, we get 50% up to a threshold. And the emergency management was a grant we was not fully utilized, and I become aware of that very, very early on in my term. And, you know, wanted to see how we could effectively get more for the county and better utilize those grant funds. And mm-hmm. in separating those, naturally it's allow those that's in charge of those departments to concentrate more on better utilizing their programs.
Well, Judge, we thank you for giving us your time this week and talking about this meeting and catching us all up. And hope everybody has a great weekend.